Welcome to the Boulder City Podcast. I'm Roger Gross, the host of the show, and today we're doing another in our series of podcasts with candidates for the City Council of Boulder City. We're doing this in cooperation with Boulder City Social, and in light of the lack of public forums during the pandemic, we hope these podcasts will help guide Boulder City voters to decide who to vote for in the upcoming April 6th election and maybe a subsequent runoff. Today we're with Greg Deaver, a candidate for council. Greg is a young man who obviously loves the city. So Greg, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Sure, no problem. So let's start off with some of your background. Why do you think that qualifies you to serve as a member of city council?
Well, I graduated from Nevada State College with my business administration degree, mm-hmm. and that's where I learned how to be a successful entrepreneur for the last 10 years or so.
Okay.
That pretty much has helped me learn how to keep a sound mind through thick and thin, because mm-hmm. my business had ups and downs.
Sure.
But it also helped me become fiscally responsible, because when I first started my businesses, I didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
So I learned over time. I also worked for the state for the last 4 years, and in various positions. Pretty much those positions have taught me how to work with others, even those people that I don't agree with, mm-hmm. and even those people that I don't like, which I know is a hard thing, especially when you're sitting on the council.
Yeah.
You have to be able to negotiate on things and give and take.
Mm-hmm.
That's what democracy is.
Sure.
So
what are some of the businesses that you've founded?
I founded pretty much... Well, one of them was a partnership with a friend. Mm-hmm. I'm going to set that one aside, because that one didn't end too well.
Right.
But
partnerships are always difficult.
Oh, yeah. Especially with don't go into business with friends.
Right.
But pretty much I accidentally in college found a way how to resell textbooks.
Okay.
And throughout those times I've been able to buy and resell textbooks. I rose it. That's when I started the partnership with my friend, mm-hmm. to say, help me out with this. We'll do this. Then I chose to step away from that.
Mm-hmm.
I got my Series 65 license for investment advising.
Okay.
And I actually started that in 2013. A year and a half later, I got hit with the regulators of the state just because they were trying to do their annual regulation. I passed, but it was $600 later, and I made total over 1 year about $2,000. I was like, it's not worth it.
Right.
So I went back to going to the textbooks, and I've been doing textbooks ever since.
Okay.
And
well, that's your niche, right?
Pretty much. I don't know why I just keep going back.
Yeah. So. Great. So why do you want to be a council member? I mean, it's a hard job. There's a lot of reading, a lot of research. It doesn't pay much. What's your goal to being a council member?
Well, I actually want to just give back to the community for mm-hmm. what it's given me. Although it might not sound like much, the quiet of after moving here. That's good enough for me to be able to work pretty much at that time, like full time for the city,
mm-hmm.
as you said, for low pay. I don't need the pay,
yeah.
because I have the business to subsidize that.
Sure, right.
But I just want to be able to give back and to make sure the city stays on a fiscally responsible path.
Okay, great. And how long have you been in Boulder City?
Oh, 3.5-4 years now.
Okay, great. So in the last election, the thing that really came to the fore, obviously, was the slow growth ordinance. And there was a lot of questions whether the previous council would adhere to that. So do you agree with the ordinance that was passed, I think, in the 1970s and still is in effect today?
Oh, yeah. That's actually the main reason why I moved out here,
mm-hmm.
because I moved out here for the small town charm, which I know that's probably the biggest cliche statement, but mm-hmm. it's the truth.
Right.
I like how quiet it is. And I like how we can go downtown and just walk, and you don't have to feel like when you're in Las Vegas, you sometimes have to feel like you have to be packing.
Right.
Here you could feel like you're at home, even though you live a couple miles away.
Right. Okay. So, the slow growth ordinance is good, but it's really actually underperformed. I mean, we have, I forget what the limit is, 100, 120, 200 homes per year, and we haven't come close to that. So do you think we need to change it in any way to at least get some growth in the city?
No. Yeah. I actually like how it is. Mm-hmm. And I know there are people that want to see growth, even if it's a little bit more. I just prefer to keep the status quo.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. How about the fiscal strategy of the city? You know, it's a little confused right now. I couldn't put my finger on it if I asked myself that question. But do you think you know, there should be more of a control over the fiscal responsibilities of the city, so that you know, we keep the taxes steady and we continue to serve the residents with the services that they want?
Yeah, the city should remain financially conservative, especially during COVID. Mm-hmm. So until we know where how the city will fare, we should not overspend, especially on certain projects such as the pool, mm-hmm. the pool facility. Right. I understand the pool needs to be repaired,
right.
but we don't need to spend tens of millions on building a whole new facility around the pool.
Right.
We can tear out the pool we have now and rebuild it where it stands mm-hmm. without erecting walls and putting in a freaking rock wall.
Right.
That wouldn't make much sense mm-hmm. to me anyway.
Right. Okay. So the city has, you know, in the past gotten into businesses. They, you know, first the original golf course was built, you know, many years ago, and then a few years ago they built the Boulder Creek course, you know, at a great expense to the city, and it hasn't really had that much return. In fact, I believe it still costs the city money. Do you think the city needs to get out of these businesses? Obviously, they're not running the business. They hire a company to run these businesses, but you know, do things have to change in terms of the way they run the golf course? So let's start with the golf courses.
Well, the golf courses, the city needs to have more oversight, obviously, because like you say, I don't think anybody knows if the golf course is how much they actually win or lose. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that question if they could even get that number, but obviously we can know exactly by just listing it out. How much is the city putting into mm-hmm. the golf course through the projects that the city's paying for directly, and
right.
of course how much we're paying the managers mm-hmm. versus how much we're actually getting in. But the city, I think it should continue the way it's been. I'm not going to say the way it's been going now. I'm yeah. actually glad that the city council is actually bidding out for mm-hmm. the new manager,
right.
because
right.
at least by then we'll actually know if we're going to get the best deal possible. But mm-hmm. the city should, I don't think it should take over fully due to the cost that it could incur on
sure.
the
right.
on the city.
Well, one of the justifications for the second golf course was that, you know, they'd sell the land for houses around the golf course, and of course that hasn't happened. So, you know, there's one piece of land that's going to be auctioned off pretty soon, from what I understand. Would you favor like changing the density or something like that with the land around the golf course, just so we can get taxpayers in there?
Oh no, if because really, you're probably talking about track 350 or whatever
right,
it is.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, that one. That was something voted 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't even know if half those people would are even around still that actually would agree with how that is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if our present voters would actually approve
right. yeah.
adding more houses. And we don't, in my book, we don't need any more revenue for the mm-hmm. city.
Okay.
So.
Great. So let's talk about the airport. You know, the last administration, this current administration, you know, got into a little controversy by taking back the leases that expired down there, and now the city's in charge of running these hangars and renting them out. Do you think the leases should have been renewed, or there should have been some sort of meet in the middle type of thing rather than just the city taking them away from the people who have run them for 30 years or more?
I think that should be a bigger discussion to mm-hmm. have, because the things that I've actually seen just watching some of the previous council meetings and reading through some of the newspapers, because this is one of those I actually had to research on
right.
when you brought this up mm-hmm. to me. I think that the city has a chance to actually use it to make more revenue, but that's if the people want to pay whatever the city's going rate would be. I think that if we renewed the lease agreement with the company that's doing it, if they want to renew it with the city mm-hmm. and then they sublease it, the city still makes the gains without having the liabilities that the leaseholder would actually hold for.
Okay. Well, one of the other things they had done at the airport was take over the fuel service, you know, which was previously done by a private contractor, paid the city, you know, I think around $75,000 a year. And now that the city's taken over it, we're losing $75,000 a year. I mean, should the city be in a business like that?
That I don't agree with.
Yeah.
Because that one, that's again, the city took on liabilities that it doesn't need. It
right.
took on the employment liability, took on I don't know how the fuel costs work for that, how the city gets those fuel costs, or if they have to go out and do like a normal gas station would, or how that would work. So I think the city's taking on more of a financial risk, potentially even an insurance risk. There's it's more risk than what we should be bringing on.
Okay. Let's talk about the small business community in Boulder City. Obviously, that's the heart of the city in the downtown area, and it's the one that attracts the tourists to the area. Do you think that the city should encourage the growth of small businesses?
Definitely. However it can. Because I know that the city, in my book, the best way for the city to let small business thrive is the city just can't impose any new fees or impose any new restrictions on them. I know going through this COVID thing, it's been a hindrance on all businesses.
Sure.
So, but we just need to get out of the way and let them grow.
Okay. So we've got these great citywide events that draw a lot of people to town, the Art in the Park, the Beer Festival, the Spring Jamboree. Do you think the city should encourage more of those type of citywide events, at different times of the year? We have this week we're supposed to have the Damn Short Film Festival, which unfortunately is only being held virtually, and that's hurting the city. Do you think we should encourage more of that kind of thing?
Definitely, especially with COVID, once we get rid of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go all out. If we can get more of these,
right,
the more we have, the more chances we have for repeat customers, pretty much, because they'll come out for the event, then they'll actually think, I want to go to the coffee cup.
Right.
But it was too crowded that day, so we can come and do it again. Or they want to say, that was a neat golf course I drove past. Why not?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. So it would create the chance for repeat guys and potentially even bring somebody, especially if they started jumping out of airplanes again.
Right. Yeah.
They would love to jump out of another airplane,
and
they get that lovely view of Boulder City.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's a shame they forced that company out as well.
Yeah.
So, we had, in the last election, we had a complete turnover of city council. The mayor, all city council members were replaced. Do you agree with the way the current council is overseeing the city?
About 98% of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's that other part of me that says, what were you guys even thinking?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, but that's politics.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to meet 100%, and it's just the way it is.
Right.
So,
in terms of the city staff, obviously this has been an issue for quite some time. They got rid of the city manager, the general counsel for the city, and now apparently the city clerk's in there. Do you think there's the justification for what happened there, or how would have you handled that differently?
It's definitely a tricky situation because I've only read things where people have complained about, especially the city clerk, and I've read through some of the stories and of what happened to the city attorney and the city manager. I would want to see the actual facts before I could even make a decision on that.
Okay. And do you think the city council had those facts?
I would hope so.
Yeah.
They better. They wouldn't have made that decision.
Right. Right. So utility costs are an issue in town. For years, Boulder City had a lower utility cost than any of the surrounding communities because of our access to the dam electricity. And now they're telling us, that we let the infrastructure decay and we have to spend a lot of money on upgrading the infrastructure. How do you think we should handle that?
We're getting a lot through the solar leases right now.
Mm-hmm.
We can use some of that or even all of it to repair our infrastructure and even improve on it.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, the fact that we also have all the regular bills that are being paid.
Sure,
we could potentially have enough to even reduce the power bills again to keep us at the level that we're at.
Yeah.
So that we're not threatening on raising any of them. Because if we start raising bills and especially that 5% fee that they were talking about, and it's going to be on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
Yeah.
That's just ridiculous. Okay.
So another issue in the past few years has been the historic buildings. We have a historic commission. They oversee these historic buildings, but they don't really have any teeth, obviously, when they can, say the old hospital was a historic building and it gets torn down in one day. Do you think the commission should have more power to enforce buildings that are torn down or how buildings are renovated?
They should be able to keep, they should have the power to be able to keep the town resembling sort of what it looked like, so we keep the history of the town. We don't want to change, have them say, we don't want to change that town, that building downtown, and then end up, somebody in on council or whoever says, we're just going to tear it down anyway. Mm-hmm. It should be there to preserve the history, thus the Historic Preservation Committee, or whatever, however it was pronounced. But they should have the power to be able to have more weight rather than
right.
some random person saying, I bought the building. You don't just buy a house downtown and hope to be able to strip it down and paint it, because right. that's when you get a nasty letter, I'm assuming.
Right.
That's part of the reason why I don't live downtown.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But
so we got, an example. We have this historic pumping station, I've been in it, it's very interesting, but you go in it once and that's pretty much all you need. You don't need to go back, I mean, so the city owns it, the city has to maintain it. There's been a proposal that maybe we sell it to a restaurant, I think it'd be a perfect brewery, the way the tanks are set up. And, obviously there's objections to that, because then you alter the historic nature of the building. I mean, where would you land on that idea?
Well, okay. So I was initially thinking of the exterior, but I actually like, if we can keep the exterior looking mm-hmm. the way it was, we can do whatever we want on the inside as long as it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much, if you can turn it into a brewery, because that sounds like it'd be a great place, great way to bring people to that part of town, because
right.
it's a little niche-y area mm-hmm. off the corner. It would be all right.
Yeah.
I'd be all right with how that would be, or a restaurant. Or a restaurant brewery.
Yeah. Okay. Great. I think a good example of how this worked was with the Browner Building. There was a threat that they were going to tear that down, and then they came in and renovated. And I don't know if you've been in there, but they did a great job with the new coffee shop the new cantina. I mean, those things are they really kept the character of the building, and they have brand new businesses.
Mm. Yeah, I have actually been in the coffee shop.
Okay.
So
yeah, I think they did a great job there. So let's talk about the pandemic and how the city's handled the pandemic. I mean, I've recently read about some towns and counties in some of the more rural parts of Nevada that objected to the governor's restrictions on businesses and things of that nature, and they decided to disobey. And I'm not sure whether that happened or not. But do you think that the government in Boulder City has handled the pandemic as well as it could have, or do you think there should have been a little more laxity when it comes to opening the restaurants and things like that?
I think it's done as well as it could have, mm-hmm. because if we would have started to say, open up the coffee shop and mm-hmm. say everybody come on in, or even open up the pit stop, it could have potentially made it worse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with how things are for the time being, but we will be getting out of this.
Right.
And if we don't all just handle it now, buckle down to now, we won't be able to see the other side for who knows how long.
Okay, so. Great. So one last question. How do you think you can contribute to a better future for Boulder City and all its residents?
Well, I will just say I will reject any resolution that would hurt the slow growth policy,
mm-hmm.
because obviously I love the slow growth. I would reject anything that would raise fees or taxes on any of our residents, especially now during COVID. And pretty much I will listen to any and all arguments on all sides before I make this final decision. I'm not going to just go out there and be an egotistical maniac, because this isn't really a job suited for one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
Save that for Senate.
Okay.
But if we can come together and find room for compromise on the council, it'd be better for the residents of this town.
Mm-hmm.
That's democracy at work.
Okay, great. Well, Greg, thanks for joining us for this, giving us your views, and good luck in the election. It's going to be a battle with 13 candidates, but I think you'll do a great job in getting your word out anyway. So thanks for joining us.
All right, thank you very much.